The Case of the Criminal Chaperones, a Teen Wolf fic written by Hedo and read by Dodificus. Styles pulls up in front of the sheriff's office in his blue Jeep, just after Deputy Billings hauls Derek out of the back of his cruiser. "Deputy Billings," Styles calls, but the deputy ignores him, hustling Derek inside so quickly Styles would almost think he was being avoided, if that weren't utterly ridiculous. "Deputy." Styles scrambles to catch up, bouncing off the doorframe on his way in, rebounding into the reception counter, into Derek, who shoves him off, and finally into a pair of arms. "Hey, Dad," he says, pleased. "What are you doing here?" "What do you think I'm doing here, Styles?" his dad asks, in a tone of voice Styles does not choose to acknowledge as appropriate. "Your friend here got arrested again, and Billings called me in because..." "Why did you call me in, Billings?" "Because your son was at the scene of the crime, Sheriff," Billings tells him, then releases Derek, holds his hands up and backs speedily away. "There was no crime, Dad," Styles protests. "I just needed to take a gander at the school's enrollment records, and the secretary was not being very helpful at all, so I enlisted Derek to help me out. There was no crime." "Breaking and entering, Styles? Really?" Styles sputters a denial, but his dad forges ahead over his half-formed words. "And you, Hale, you're 21 years old, and you should not be on school premises even during opening hours." "Dad," Styles says, "remember how I told you the new girl, Kate, was giving me really creepy vibes?" "I do, but I don't care." "She's 27, Dad, and she's enrolled as a sophomore." "Styles." His dad cuts him off, but then stops and does a double take. "What's your explanation for that?" They all look at each other while Styles' dad attempts to come up with one. "And her name is Argent, right? Which is the same surname as the new secretary. There's some kind of conspiracy afoot, I'm telling you." "You couldn't have talked him out of this?" his dad asks Derek, who shrugs. "Styles," his dad says, "I will look into this in the morning if you promise to stop sleuthing. And you," he rounds on Derek, "if your sister wouldn't cause more trouble than you're worth, I'd hold you overnight. I will have you arrested the next time you set foot on school property." Styles grabs Derek's arm and backs towards the door. "Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it." "Werewolves," his dad mutters. "Worse than lawyers for making trouble." "That's speciest," Styles says, though it pains him. "And his curfew was 10 minutes ago," his dad reminds Derek wearily. "Understood, sir," Derek says, and once they're out the doors and out of sight, he lifts Styles by the scruff of his neck, carries him back to the Jeep and deposits him there with a warning snarl. But he trails Styles all the way home and idles outside until he locks the door, so he can't be too mad. The next day, Styles is sitting at lunch with his best friend Scott, relating the night's events. "His hair was very spiky," Styles tells him. "I think it responds to his mood." "You think Derek anticipates your shenanigans and styles his hair accordingly?" "No, I think it's anthropomorphic," Styles is explaining, when a tall girl with dark hair slams her lunch tray onto their table and stares down at them with folded arms and a haughtily pissy expression. "Why did you get my mum fired and my aunt expelled?" she demands flatly. "Who are you?" Styles asks. "I go here too," she's saying as Scott breathes, "Allison." And the table stares at him like the weirdo he is. Not the actual table. Styles' belief in anthropomorphism does not extend that far. "I'm Allison Argent," she tells Styles, "and you got my mum fired." "She shouldn't have enrolled your old age pensioner aunt in school if she wanted to hang on to her job." "Did you get Allison's mum fired?" Scott asks, sounding totally betrayed. "Were you listening to my story at all?" "It was about Derek's hair. I can only take a certain amount of..." "It was not about Derek's hair," Styles is protesting when Allison says, "My aunt never graduated high school, okay? It isn't her fault the family has always moved around so much." "But you somehow made it out of middle school," Styles says. You're not stupid enough to get held back, so I don't see why your aunt gets to use that excuse. Is it weird to be in the same grade as your aunt? Scott asks, like he's trying to start a conversation. I'm 17, Allison says flintily, picks up her tray and storms off. Older women are hot, Scott calls after her, but she just throws him a dubious look and keeps walking away. Flame out, Stiles says sympathetically, repressing his schadenfreude heroically. Like you can talk, Scott says grumpily. Hanging around the pack all day trying to make time with Derek. I am not, Stiles blusters. I'm just taking an interest in such an important aspect of my best friend's life. Nobody buys that, dude, Scott says, wry. We are all, unfortunately, werewolves. We can tell what you're into, and it isn't any aspect of my life. When Stiles deflates like a popped balloon, Scott does bust his tray in apology, but it doesn't really make up for the unwelcome revelation. The next time Stiles sees Derek, he's in the process of attempting to enter the Argent house by the bathroom window. Usually he would have called Derek to help him out with something like this, but he was too embarrassed to ask. He doesn't know what Derek thinks he's really been asking for all this time, and it shouldn't matter because it isn't true, but somehow it does. It mostly isn't true. Derek has always been of great assistance in Stiles' investigations. When Derek grabs his shirt collar and yanks him off the wall, Stiles can't meet his eyes. You shouldn't be here, Derek says. You shouldn't be here, Stiles says. I have a reason. Why are you here? I have a reason too, Derek protests. Scott told me what you were planning. Stiles can't help feeling warmed by that. Well, since you're here, you can help, Stiles tells him. No, Derek says. These people are dangerous. Stiles dives through the open window. Derek catches up to him while he's hunting through Allison Argent's underwear drawer. Stiles is glad Derek wasn't here for Kate's drawer. Some of those things were scandalously lacy. Stiles doesn't come up with anything here either. Where else do women hide things if not in their smalls? Stiles asks at a loss. If my mother had been around when I was growing up, I feel sure she would have educated me on these matters. Derek's mouth is hanging open. Do you? He asks eventually. A boy really needs a mum, Stiles says sadly. The lack of one has left such a gap in my knowledge. Really? Derek says, sounding baffled. Hey, Stiles realizes, you have a mum. Where does she hide stuff? She used to hide things inside my brother's violin, Derek says. And she probably still does, since they brought it to New York with them. Since there's no point going to music school if you're going to leave your instrument behind. None of the Argents play anything, Stiles tells him. Try again. Did you try Mrs. Argent's underwear drawer? Derek asks, reluctantly. I didn't really want to, Stiles says. That felt like crossing some kind of line. That did, Derek says, disbelievingly. But you're here now. Stiles says happily. You can do it. I really can't, Derek protests, but he can and does. Nothing, Stiles bewails. There has to be somewhere else. Derek has plenty of other ideas, but they have no luck in the freezer, the washing machine, or the rice jar. Did you eat the rice after your mum used it to store secrets? Stiles asked. Obviously, Derek says, before leading the way out to the garage and tracking down the toolbox. Whoa, Stiles says. Why does Mrs. Argent have pictures of my uncle in with her tools? Derek asks. Then a car pulls up and the garage door starts beeping as it raises. Oh no, Stiles says. I'm going to get arrested again, aren't I? It isn't a question. Not officially, Stiles excuses. It's never on the books, because then they'd have to arrest me too. Not making me feel better. Quick, hide! Stiles shoves Derek behind the workbench. This is such a good hiding place, Derek says as the car rolls inside. Totally undetectable. Shut up, Stiles says. I didn't see you coming up with anything better. two car doors open and shut. "This is such a lovely garage," Scott says wonderingly. "My parents won't be back until after dinner," Allison says sensibly, which is good because one of them should be. "My dad uses the garage to store his guns, and my mum does her woodworking out here. That's why they had the extra lighting installed. It's nice, right?" "Oh," Scott says, voice getting nearer. "That's interesting." "What's interesting?" Allison says teasingly, right on top of them. This suddenly seems like a very skimpy hiding place, so Stiles pushes closer to Derek, who grabs him and hauls him into his lap when he almost crashes into the bench. Allison is sitting on it now, so Stiles is pretty sure she would have noticed. "Thanks," Stiles mouths, and Derek's eyes stay on his lips after he's finished speaking. "Oh no," Scott says. "What?" Allison asks, alarmed. "Nothing," Scott says. "I recognize that smell." "My perfume?" "No," Scott says, anguished. "Though that is a pretty scent." "Thanks," Allison says, and then Stiles hears a sound he thinks might be a kiss. Stiles is pretty sure he should be figuring out what's going on out there, but there's too much going on in here for him to spare the attention. In his racing breath and pounding heart, in Derek's wide, dark eyes, in the warmth of Derek's shoulder under Stiles' hand as he leans forward and... "Stiles!" Scott yelps. "Stiles?" Allison asks, puzzled, and then delicately, "Your friend? Are you..." "No! He's here!" Scott shoves away the workbench, Allison still sitting on it, and when it spins to a stop, she's facing Stiles and Derek. "Hello," she says sharply. "Why the hell are you lurking in my garage?" "My family haven't hunted werewolves since 98, Allison says again. "Not since the laws changed. Now we work as intermediaries in the ongoing..." "Do you actually believe that?" Stiles says. "Your dad keeps an arsenal in your garage." "He's a member of the NRA, Allison says. "That doesn't mean anything. He likes guns." "And your mum likes keeping pictures of Derek's uncle in the bottom of her toolbox," Stiles tells her. "Explain that." "You broke into my house," Allison says, flustered. "I don't have to explain anything. And if you don't leave right this second, I'm going to tell your dad about this, Stiles." They leave. "Me too," Scott protests for the 100th time. Allison's expression is tragic, but she slams the door in Scott's face just the same. "Stiles," Scott bemoans, "this is all your fault." Derek is pressed against Stiles' side, so Stiles isn't really listening to anything anybody is saying until Derek has said, "Do we have to give him a ride home now?" "No," says Stiles. "You walked, right?" "Ran." "He can too." "I'm not walking," Scott says outraged, and Stiles would disagree, but Scott bolts for the Jeep before he gets the chance. "I'll drop you home first," Stiles offers. "Fine," Derek agrees, but he doesn't sound happy about it. "What's this I hear about you breaking into the Argent place?" his dad asks when he gets home. "Allison lies," Stiles tells him. "She let us in and then got worried her parents wouldn't like her dating a werewolf." "Allison didn't tell me," his dad says. "Derek and I talk." "And Derek is dating the Argent girl? Really?" "No," Stiles says, appalled. "Why would you even think that? Scott is dating Allison." "And why are you talking to Derek? Disallowed, Dad, disallowed." "Scott's dating the Argent girl? Really?" "What's wrong with Allison?" Stiles says, sleuthy senses tingling. "Nothing's wrong with Allison," his dad says. "And of course I talk to your boyfriend. What kind of dad do you think I am?" "He isn't my boyfriend," Stiles says. "What do you talk about? What does he say about me?" "I would be very relieved to hear that," his dad says slowly, "since in my head you will always be 6 years old. But I'm not the one you should be talking to about this." "What?" Stiles demands frantically. Tell me. No, his dad says. And you pull one more stunt like this and you're grounded. Stiles has never actually been grounded, but he has heard tales of such things from Scott, so he doesn't argue. I am retreating to my bedroom to go over the evidence in private, Stiles says with dignity. Uh-huh, his dad says knowingly. Or you could just ask Derek. Evidence of the case, Stiles says, and flees. My mom says she hasn't seen Uncle Derek in a decade either, Derek tells Stiles the next day, standing outside Stiles' favourite burger joint as Stiles sucks down the last of his milkshake. Derek never gets a milkshake himself because he has no love of fun or joy. He's in Beacon Hills, Stiles says. That's a drive-in sign behind his head here. I don't know why we haven't seen him then, Derek says. Laura became alpha of the pack when our parents moved away. And although he's still technically a member of the pack, he's supposed to report to her when entering our territory. I don't know why we haven't been to the drive-in since forever, Stiles complains, and then suggests, maybe he knew he'd brought hunters with him and didn't want to make her angry. He should have warned her if that were the case, Derek disagreed. Maybe he was worried she'd kill him just to get the hunters off your back. The hunters haven't been bothering us, Derek protests. And Laura wouldn't kill our uncle. You said you didn't know him very well, though, Stiles says. And you have plenty of family. It's not like she'd miss him. Stiles, Derek says disapprovingly, but Stiles is distracted by the flash of oncoming lights. The glare is blinding in his eyes, and then Derek's body hits his hard, sending them tumbling to the ground, rolling roughly across the concrete as rubber screeches beside Stiles' head. Holy crap, Stiles says, dazed, scrambling to his feet unsteadily. They tried to kill us. That was a murder attempt, yes, Derek says gravely. This is getting too hairy for you to be involved in, Stiles. You know what that means? Stiles says, thrilled. We're getting close to the truth. We're closing in on them. I don't think that's the vital point here, Derek says. You can disagree with me all you like, Stiles allows generously, as long as you don't tell my dad about any of this. Closing in on who? Derek asks, and Stiles is glad he's already kind of distracted by his near-death experience and Derek's proximity, because it lets him pretend to be too distracted to focus on the question. What car does your mum drive? He asks Allison in school the next day. She ignores him. No, seriously, he presses. This could exculpate her totally and clear her name. Her name doesn't need to be cleared, Allison says, irritated. Isn't it enough that you forced my aunt into the job market in this economy and forced me to stop seeing your friend? Do you hate me? I didn't force you to do anything, Stiles denies. If you'd given Scott the chance, he'd have taken your side over mine. Not the point, Allison says, but she looks like she might be swayed. Is it a dark red SUV? Stiles asks. It's a silver Lexus, Allison says. Oh, Stiles says, disappointed. Are you going to leave me alone now? I'd really like it if you phoned Scott, he says, before he does. All his whining about you is distracting me from my own romantic issues, and I think I might need to be able to focus on them soon. You have a romance to have issues with? Allison asks. I'm insulted by your skepticism, Stiles says huffily, and it's a little bit true, but she smiles at him and shares her notes, so it might be a little worth it too. It isn't Mrs. Argent, Stiles tells Derek later that day, outside the Hale place. Does your uncle drive a dark red SUV? There'd be damage to the passenger side door, so that'd help identify it. Why do I have to keep telling you I haven't seen my uncle in 10 years? Your family is so close, Stiles says. I just find that really difficult to believe. I'm not lying to you, Derek says, frustrated. I don't think you're lying. You do. I wouldn't lie to you. Okay, Stiles says, kind of breathless. Why would your uncle be returning to Beacon Hills now? I don't really care, Derek says. He's looming over Styles, but Styles doesn't feel very threatened. Why would he return to his old stomping ground and not acknowledge the new alpha? Styles wonders aloud. But he isn't really expecting an answer, because Derek is very close to him now, and he has one hand on Styles' hip and one on his back, and his head is tipping down as Styles is tilting up. And why did you let my dad think you were my boyfriend? And Derek freezes. Do you want to be my boyfriend? Styles asks, and he'll deny that's hope in his voice until his dying day. Unless Derek does. Are you saying I'm not? Derek asks, drawing away. Wait, Styles says, incredulous, fingers tightening on Derek's leather jacket. You think you are? I thought my dad was teasing me. I don't think he'd have let me assist you on your last 11 cases if he didn't think my intentions were... You have to tell me things like this, Styles interrupts, outraged. We could have been having so much more fun. Well, maybe not more fun, because partnering with a boy like you on a successful criminal investigation is the most fun it's possible to have. But we could have been having different, additional fun. Let's do that now, Derek suggests, and Styles is pulling Derek down when he hears the screech of a car speeding around the corner. Peter Hale is sitting behind the wheel as the red SUV barrels towards them, and Derek is still leaning towards Styles, so Styles knocks him out of the path of the rampaging vehicle. It's your uncle, Styles cries triumphantly as the SUV crashes into the side of the house and werewolves begin to spill out onto the lawn. Your uncle is evil. He wants to become Alpha, Derek says, lifting Styles to his feet and pushing him aside. He needs to kill Laura and me first. Wait, Styles says, as Derek steps past him, towards Peter, staggering out of the smashed car. You mean somebody wasn't trying to kill me? I would happily have killed you too if it had been necessary, Peter informs him smoothly. But I'd rather turn you instead. Permission denied, Styles yells, honestly alarmed for the first time. I don't think he's obeying the letter of the law here, Laura says, coming to stand beside Derek. The rest of their pack are throng around them, rumbling and growing riotous, and that's when the silver Lexus tears into the clearing and the Argent women jump out with their crossbows. I'm not supporting this, Allison tells Styles faintly. And yet you're here, he says. My mum made me. That's a fair point. My dad makes me do stuff too, Styles says sympathetically. Allison, Scott yells, coming out of the house dressed only in a towel. No nudity, Laura yells at him, sounding seriously annoyed. Humans hate that. Why do we care what humans hate? Peter shouts. We hate humans. He doesn't seem to have the crowd. Allison, Scott yells again. This is dangerous. You shouldn't be here. Allison's crossbow is hanging limp in her grasp, but a little colour returns to her face at that. I can take care of myself, she snaps, and the crossbow lifts and steadies on her aunt. Stop pointing that thing at my boyfriend, please. This isn't really how I wanted you to greet him. Seriously? Kate's weapon drops as she swings around to face Allison. I told you we should have inducted her earlier. She whispers furiously at Allison's mother, and Allison frowns at the fusillade of low-voiced arguing that ensues. Can we go home now? She asks hopelessly. No, they shout, and go back to fighting amongst themselves. They don't seem to notice when she slips over to Scott. I challenge the status of Laura Hale, Uncle Peter says, and then that of Derek Hale, and then anybody who thinks they can take me after they see what I leave behind. Styles' hand tightens on Derek's. He doesn't even know when they started holding hands. Derek tries to step forward, to step away, and Styles pulls him back. Derek, Styles says, ignoring the catch in his voice, and Derek is just about to kiss him, finally, when the siren wails and the cruisers join the mess in the clearing. Oh, Styles says vaguely. I saw a red SUV with damage to the front panel loitering on the road outside, so I phoned my dad before I knocked for you. Great, Derek says, pulling away. I didn't really want to kill my uncle. Stiles' dad is climbing out of his car, and there's a lot going on right now. But somehow his dad is still looking askance at Stiles' hand, curled inside Derek's. Curfew, his dad calls. It's 6:30, Stiles protests. Go home or get grounded, his dad yells decisively. So Stiles does. Allison's going to stick around with her dad, Scott is telling him happily when Derek shows up outside school the next afternoon, because her mum and her aunt are probably going to be interned locally so they can visit them. Plus, her dad has a job here already, and in this economy? Derek, Stiles says. No, Allison, Scott says, frowning. No, Derek, Stiles says, reaching out and turning Scott's head. Oh, Derek, Scott says. I'm just going to go and... He jerks his thumb over his shoulder and vanishes. Thanks, Stiles calls after him, honestly grateful. Hey there. Didn't my dad threaten to have you arrested the next time you set foot on... Derek cuts him off with a kiss. It's more fun than talking. It might even be more fun than sleuthing, although Stiles would never admit to that. And when Deputy Billing sees Stiles and Derek necking on the steps of the school, he does, in fact, pull Derek in again. But Stiles doesn't mind, because at least he got a little action out of it this time. The end.